Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Community, presented by the DLC Media News Center. I'm Dave Crooks, and this weekend our special guest is John Swanner. He is the morning anchor at Channel 10 WTHI-TV and MyFox 10. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. We're glad to have you in studio this morning, and I thought it would be a good idea since in the Terre Haute region this week, the biggest story was the meeting at the Indiana Government Center where we actually got a decision finally on who would actually be the operator of the new proposed Terre Haute Casino. Now, technically, we won't really get the final go-ahead until they figure out the appeal. The appeal by local businessman Greg Gibson and Lady Luck, which, of course, had the original $5 million deposit when they had proposed to build it more than a year ago, I guess, right?
Yeah, Lucy Luck Gaming is still, their appeal is still before the OALP in this. It's administrative law. It's a different branch that I'm used to dealing with. And so you learn something new every day in this business. And this appeal is just different than what you would customarily see in civil cases. And so it's an administrative law judge, and they're saying this is the first appeal of its kind of a gaming commission decision like this. So we're seeing unprecedented and uncharted waters everywhere with this thing.
And if I remember correctly, and you've covered this a lot closely, more closely than me, the rejection apparently when it came to Lucy Luck was that they didn't feel like they had their financing and all their other ducks in order. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, and they didn't like the lack of gaming experience among their personnel. And Greg was the only licensed member of the team with the gaming commission. So there were a lot of things that they brought up. Now, I think Mr. Gibson would have a lot to say in opposition to that, and maybe in defense of his company, and that's why the appeal is still pending. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see how this shakes out. We just haven't heard a whole lot of evidence at this point.
So at this point, they did a pivot, basically, and they advertised for new bids. And then apparently Greg jumped on the Hard Rock bandwagon, so to speak, as a minority interest. So in the final proposal, we had four companies that were being considered, of course.
That's correct.
And the order that we heard testimony on this past Wednesday afternoon, there was a group called Full House Resorts, and they had proposed to name the Terre Haute Casino, if they had won the award, as American Place. And they're familiar to the Midwest area because they apparently operate the Rising Sun Casino in Southeast Indiana. And then they have a casino interest in East St. Louis, I guess.
That is correct. And they also were the ones that started this whole talk about bringing a casino to Terre Haute in the first place back in 2017. They have some gaming stations to spare at Rising Sun. And their thought was, we can split the license between Rising Sun and Terre Haute. Now, of course, that didn't pass. I didn't make it up here. But I remember a conversation between that I overheard, or actually Senator Ron Alting said it on the record at the meeting to Senator John Ford at the time. Okay, this didn't pass today. It didn't pass the Public Policy Committee. But he said, but we're onto the right track. We're onto something that we think can work. Now, little did we know that 2 years later, we'd have another bill, and Greg Gibson's involved in that bill. But Full House actually got this ball rolling a long time ago, and Alex Stolyar, their vice president that testified and did most of the talking on Wednesday, was actually testifying before the Public Policy Committee and really did a lot of legwork to open the eyes of state lawmakers about what changing gaming statutes would mean for Indiana, because of course this is the first change in gaming laws in Indiana since the 90s when they established it.
Yeah, and by the way, for full disclosure, I'm a former state legislator who spent 10 of my 12 years on the Public Policy Committee where we dealt with gaming, and I was there for some of those changes, especially when we made the French Lick Resort a reality.
Yeah, so, I remember that. That was such a big deal back then, and now here we are. We're just totally doing a new license altogether.
Yeah, well, I knew that the riverboats wouldn't last. They would become land casinos eventually, and that's what we've seen to keep Indiana competitive with other states. But to basically get into the details of Wednesday, in the order of the four companies that wanted the Terre Haute license, we just mentioned Full House Resort, Hard Rock, which Mr. Gibson was part of that as a minority investor, Premier Gaming Group, and then we had Churchill Downs. So even though you followed this closely, I went up there from a standpoint of, okay, I want to cover this for my radio stations, but as a former legislator, a person who had had interest in being on the committee that oversaw the gaming in Indiana, I was just curious. So I went up there, and you and I kind of witnessed this all afternoon long.
Yeah.
And when the American Place presentation was over for Full House Resorts, I was sitting behind Mayor Bennett and next to Chris Schweitzer, the commissioner, and it was like, wow, that was a great presentation. I mean, they had this idea for land facing Interstate 70 east of 46 with this huge greenhouse. And it just looked like they had not only come up with kind of a unique mark for their proposed casino, but they seemed to be the most aggressive when it came to what they thought the total jobs would be generated as well as the total revenue. They seem to have a higher projection than the other three. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. I think that they believed in Terre Haute from day one. And I'm curious, and maybe one day we'll get this answer, but what really piqued their initial curiosity back in 17? Why Terre Haute? I mean, location, obviously, and that's the last real area of the state where there's no gaming, and you can tap into western Indianapolis and then eastern Illinois and then Lafayette and so forth and Bloomington. But I would be curious, and they've always believed in Terre Haute, just curious what really sparked their interest. And I think when they came to the community, they had even more belief because of the overwhelming community support back in 17. So well, yeah, they were on board.
And one thing that I think they pointed out, the traffic count on Interstate 70, which I never knew the answer to this, is somewhere above 30,000 vehicles per day.
Yeah.
So another reason to have it right next to I-70.
Yeah.
But by the time they were done with their presentation, they had a lot of questions asked by the commissioners. I thought, wow, this Full House company may steal the day. Then Hard Rock came to bat. And I don't know. I guess maybe it was because Full House's presentation was so good, but I was disappointed with the Hard Rock presentation.
I heard that from a lot of people. And really, it was a rehash of what they had already proposed. I don't think they really added anything new.
Well, they spent so much time talking about their diversity hiring practices, and that's good. We all want to be diverse and hire everybody that's eligible to work. But it just seemed like their proposal got in the weeds. And then when you saw their pictures, you know, one of the commissioners, I think Susan Williams, pointed out, you know, what will help bring people to this casino. And of course, they kept dwelling on their name. You know, the Hard Rock name alone would appeal to so many people. But I looked at their drawings and it was like, well, it's not really that fancy of a building. And yeah, the Hard Rock name does kind of have a unique brand, but I don't know. By the time their presentation was over, I was like, wow, this was a bit disappointing.
I think, when I visited Gary, the casino up there, because we wanted to get a taste at the time. I mean, the Terre Haute Roxino was still a thing back in May. And, so we were like, well, let's go see what this casino looks like. It's beautiful on the inside. It's very clean. It's very bright. But yeah, you're right. The outside, it just doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
And in fact, the front of the casino doesn't even face the front of where you come off the interstate up there on I-94. The only neat, interesting draw to your eye when you pull up in the lot is the tall, very tall replica of Joe Jackson's guitar on the front of the Hard Rock Casino. Now, that's really neat. It's really cool.
Sure.
But you got to go around a couple of corners. If you're looking off the interstate, there's not a whole lot. There's a lot of billboards, maybe. So I can see the commissioner's point in that regard, that there just wasn't a whole lot to draw, especially, like you said, on the heels of Full House. We're like, we're going to have this ginormous greenhouse with all these restaurants in there, and you're going to see this beacon of light in at night.
There was even some specific concerns that made their presentation longer than the rest, to where they had this unique kind of, I guess I would call it kind of a half oval look to their hotel drawing. And there may be a copyright in the country of Brazil. Would that cause any issues? But I think they got through most of that. So after about 2+ hours into this meeting, they take this intermission after the two presentations. We come back from about a 20-minute break. Terre Haute Entertainment LLC, which basically was the premier gaming group, they were on bat next. They made a presentation. It wasn't overly impressive either.
No. I mean, you like the guys that were talking, because they sound like guys you could sit down and and hang out with.
And they had smaller casino interests in communities the size of Terre Haute.
They had really good comments from their communities that they serve.
Yes.
They sound like they're a great community partner down in Natchez, Mississippi, and other places where they're at. But That seems to be more their market than way up here.
Yeah. So when they were done, it was like, well, not that impressed with Premier. Then all of a sudden, Churchill Downs comes up in the cleanup spot. They proposed the Queen of Terre Haute. By the way, Premier proposed Bluff City Casino, right, for Terre Haute?
That's correct.
Okay. So the Queen of Terre Haute was presented by Churchill Downs, and they made it very clear that even though they've been around for well over 100 years in the gaming business, they own the Kentucky Derby, the Churchill Downs in Louisville, and other interests, they've never really had the opportunity to invest in Indiana. They'd had their eye on Indiana for a long time, and they made it quite clear they had the available cash and no other distractions or conflicts in other Indiana casino interest.
And that seemed to weigh heavily on the commissioners, don't you think?
I think it did. I think the lobbyist that made the presentation, or maybe the, I'm not sure if he was a lobbyist or actually the CEO, but he kept talking about, we're not conflicted, we're not conflicted. And that kind of stood out. And I think he was trying to jab Full House a bit, that they wouldn't have to be playing Rising Sun versus Terre Haute as well as St. Louis. They could put their full focus on the Terre Haute project. But the one downside, I think that maybe the commissioners, and obviously Duke Bennett, and I think Commissioner Schweitzer came away with, they were worried about their proposed location, which would be directly behind what was the Honey Creek Square Mall, now the Haute City Center.
Yep.
It would be next to where the new jail is being built, along with the sewage area, the treatment plant. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't sound very pretty that, hey, the new casino is next to the sewage plant and the jail. But yet it sounds to me that they were very flexible that, hey, if the community leaders tell us they want this at a different location, if we're awarded the casino, we'll be happy to work on that.
Yeah, they did say that they were open to it, but they did say their first choice is that location on Honey Creek Drive. And I paid that parcel a visit yesterday, and it's big. It's huge. There's a lot of land out there.
About 21 acres, I guess.
Yeah, it's big. And they got a lot of room to do a lot of different things. And I see where people are coming from. You know, they're going to have this rooftop diner, and the kind of the running joke is that, oh yeah, looking over the jail and the sewer plant.
Yeah. With this beautiful pool, I'm looking at your picture from WTHITV.com where you did have one of the artist renderings from Churchill that would have a pool and a bar area at the very top of their hotel. And I also thought that some of the things that they showed in their presentation, the four-cornered steakhouse, which that was kind of a neat play off of what used to be the four-cornered steakhouse, or I guess the tribute to the track that used to be where the Memorial Stadium
is
in Terre Haute. Yeah. So that was kind of cool. But their proposed bar looked really cool, and their sports bet.
Yeah.
I don't know. They kind of all of a sudden, I could feel the momentum shifting toward Churchill Downs way.
Absolutely. The more they talk, the more they had all seven members riveted, and the staff too, because I mean, I think the executive director and the assistant director and the general counsel were sitting with the commission members. They were all riveted. They were all like, wow. They were all in. It was really neat.
So basically, when their presentation was over, a motion was made to take a vote. And the way this works, they wanted commissioners to vote on their top two preferences.
Right.
Okay. So when that vote was over, basically, Premier, the group that pitched third, got zero votes.
Right.
Hard Rock only got two.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the equivalent of six votes apiece for both Churchill Downs and Full House.
Mm-hmm.
So that eliminated Hard Rock and that eliminated Premier. And then they went to executive session.
Right.
They had a meeting behind closed doors, which was expected. It was on their agenda.
Right, right.
And they had some internal discussions. You and I had a chance to chat and talk about what we thought might happen. And, and I kind of felt during that break, I thought, wow, even though I was impressed with Full House, I kind of think Churchill's gonna pull this off. And that seemed to be what was the vibe in that auditorium.
Yep.
They come back about 20 minutes later. A motion was made by a commissioner who was on the phone, not actually in the meeting. He made a motion to actually accept Full House. It got a second, but it only received two votes and got five nay votes.
Right, right.
So then another commissioner made a motion for Churchill Downs, and by golly, they had all seven votes at that point, and
they
Churchill Downs
won the
selection process. So that's how it happened, and I thought, you know, as a former legislator and someone that's been in the media for 40 years, I know there's all this speculation that, oh, there must have been some kind of a deal behind closed doors or under the table. No, I thought the process was very transparent and fair. And being in that meeting for 6+ hours, I thought they made a logical decision.
They said what they were going to do, and then they did it. I mean, they didn't deviate from the agenda at all. And I know that there's a lot of discussion about this executive session that was held within the meeting. And the thing of it is, that's perfectly legal for them to do. And in fact, that's what executive sessions are for, is to have private discussions, not right. in a public forum, to where they can discuss these issues. I mean, there's a lot of private and sensitive information that these companies don't want out, all four of them. And I'm sure that they talked about a lot about this. And, you know,
and these are people on that commission that know a lot about gaming.
Oh, sure. There's a lot of lawyers on there, and people that are high ranking in their various companies that they work for, and very smart people. I mean, that's the thing about watching these meetings. You get a gist for how smart they are. And the chairman, especially a man of integrity. He reeks integrity. And I just, the talk about the executive session, it was fine. I mean, it was, like you said, it was expected. And then they came out and they said, this is what we're going to do.
Yep.
Now, I was very surprised that the first motion was voted down.
Right.
That was the surprise.
Well, when that motion was made, I thought, maybe Full House will pull this off.
Exactly.
It didn't happen. But we're almost out of time, but I want to quickly recap what Churchill Downs, who was the most conservative with their numbers, mm-hmm. they felt like the competitors there were blue-skying some of their projections on number of employees and what they thought the new casino would gross. But basically, Churchill Downs, the queen of Terre Haute, would be a total capital investment of $190 million. 110 of that would be in the casino, 80 in the non-gaming area, which is mainly the hotel and restaurants, things like that. Just under 400,000 square feet. The casino would have about 56,000 square feet. The non-gaming area, about 266,000 square feet. Back of the house, 70,000. So it would create 500 permanent jobs, about 1,000 construction jobs, 1,000 slot machines, which is a pretty good number, and 50 table games. Mm-hmm. 21 acres located on undeveloped land at the Honey Creek Drive west of the Haute City Shopping Mall. And they project that adjusted gross gaming in the first year could be as high as $119.7 million. They think that it'll grow each year a little bit, as high as $134 million by year five. And then they're projecting that the admission totals over 5 years would be $6.7 million, about $1.3 million in their first year. So have we left any detail out that people should know about this project coming to the area?
Well, I think we touched on the amenities that place will offer as well. The rooftop restaurant, the pool on the roof, and then the Four Corners Track Steakhouse. They'll have 8 food and beverage facilities within this this casino, and then 3 of those will be restaurants. And it's got a really good Terre Haute flavor, right down from the name of it, the Queen of Terre Haute, of course, in reference to the Queen of the Wabash. To me, I think the Four Corners Racetrack, that's a really neat tribute, a nice tie, blending the two together, racing that Churchill Downs brings to what Terre Haute had racing-wise, and they had a unique track back in the day.
Yeah, I think they'll be a good community partner. I think I look forward to it. It's going to create some needed jobs, and the fact that it will bring some new money to the community, even if you can just stop people off the interstate, let alone people who love to just go spend a weekend at a casino and try a different resort.
Exactly.
It'll complement, I think, what's going on downtown with the convention center. So I think it's a very big plus for the Terre Haute area.
Oh, man. And that revenue, all these local governments are just, they're ready for that extra revenue. The communities that I've paid visits to that have casinos, and the fact that I remember I went to Vivi a few years back, and they're like, we just paved our last alley.
Wow.
We don't know where to spend our money that we get. I mean, I don't know that we're going to be paving alleys in Terre Haute, because we're a lot bigger than Vivi, obviously. But the point is that we're going to get a nice shot in the arm that we desperately need.
Well, and we've got schools to build, apparently, or renovate, and that could be a big help there, too.
Absolutely.
To increase the tax base, because Terre Haute has lost population in the past 10 years.
Absolutely. And these operators talk about working with our institutions of higher learning. I mean, that's going to be a great thing.
Well, John, they're saying this could be going within 16 to 19 months. I'm looking forward to see if they'll actually move the location. You and I probably would speculate that they might cut a deal with Greg Gibson, and if that's the case, perhaps it would go behind the Walmart area near Highway 46, but I guess that's nothing official. That's just pure speculation.
Nothing official, pure speculation, but we do know on the record that local officials want it out east. That's their preference. You mentioned Mayor Bennett and Commissioner Schweitzer both went on the record telling us they want it out east. There's a lot of people in the community that feel the same way that we've been judging by from what we can see from our comments on our websites. Definitely they want it out east. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, that's what Chris said at the end of everything. We'll just have to wait and see what happens, how this shakes out, because there's a lot of talk between now and then.
Well, John Swanner, thanks again for stopping by today. Keep doing a good job there at WTHI-TV in the morning. And appreciate your insights on all of this, as you've covered this extensively. And this will be fun to watch over the next 19 months.
We're not done covering it yet, Dave.
Absolutely. So thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Dave Crooks, the president and owner of DLC Media. And that is Focus on the Community for November 20th and 21st of 2021. For a download of this program, go to any one of our websites. Have a great weekend.